Jacobs cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, I don't know.
Are you a proud homeowner yet?
No, not yet. But we do have our house under contract, and we do have an offer out. So fingers crossed. Hopefully by this time next year or next week, that will be in the rearview mirror. And then you just got to go through.
Can you give me your moving dates potentially?
It would be September 9th. It would be like the somewhere in there, early September.
I would like to block those days out as busy.
Yeah. I'll let you know. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be like the first weekend of the NFL. My wife's going to be real mad when I'm like, time out. I got to watch the Chiefs game. Time out. I got to go do a podcast with Nick.
Sure, that'll be music.
It's going to go well.
That'll be music.
Thanks for ruining my marriage, Nick.
Yeah, I'm the guy behind that one.
So, hey, I don't know. I don't know what you want to do this week on the podcast, but I was thinking we could talk some Chiefs football.
That sounds like a solid idea.
You like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think we should start with a. Do we have like a nice sounder? I mean, do your hot topics?
No, I'm not doing it.
I didn't know if you had one for trending topics. I was going to see if you had come up with one.
All right, it's going to be exactly like the other one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Trending topics.
That's not exactly like the other one at all.
Trending topics.
There you go. Much better.
I don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
Like, I'm not saying we need to like record one and just use that as the bumper every time.
Okay.
And then maybe we can get it like sponsored.
Work on that one.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Trends, trending topics, and Jim Gaffigan's hot topics.
All right. Let's light this candle with actual topics. How about that?
Guys left practice, they injured. There's a few guys who've been out for a while. I mean, Garrett Dieter continues to have issues with his back. Damian Williams, Jordan Lucas continue to have issues with hamstrings. But we've had a few more additions to the old MASH unit over the weekend.
Damian Wilson will be a knee. Tyreek Hill was held out with a quad, so it was just precaution. They wanted to give him a day because they were doing live tackling today to the ground. So probably not a good idea coming off a bruised quad.
He bruised his quad. They had a day off. He came back to practice, and then they decided discretion is the better part of valor in this case.
And then Damian Williams had the hamstring injury still, so he did not practice.
He and Jordan have been out for a while.
Alex Okafor had a hip injury today. He left practice, rode in the front seat of the cart, not the back. Front good, back bad.
Emmanuel Agba, also front seat passenger.
Yeah, with an oblique. So, I mean, this is the part of training camp where these things happen, where you have strains and you have to take a couple days. So, I mean, I'm not overly concerned about either one of those right now. It's just the part of camp whenever you hit that point where, because if I remember correctly, they've been in pads the past 3 days, including Sunday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe they were in pads all 3 days. So whenever you have that happen, the injuries are going to happen. You're going to have to do some icy hot, some cold tub treatment, and whatever else Rick Burkholder and the team come up with for what can help you get back on the field. So
good news, Mitchell Schwartz. Back seems to have calmed down enough to allow him to get back to practice.
Yeah, he's looked good out there. I haven't seen any issues, so I'm very happy about that development. Hope it stays that way.
Maybe he went home, made a nice pulled pork, and that healed everything.
And saw both of his Pomeranian dogs on Instagram. Right.
Doesn't Cupcake have more followers than Mitch?
Yeah, by a lot. And then they got a new dog. Well, I believe it's Pumpkin.
All right.
They have two of them together.
All right. Well,
you took it down this road, not me.
I'm just saying. I mean, how is the restraining order with Mitch Schwartz gone? That's all I want to know.
That is the worst. That is the meanest thing I think you've ever said to me on this podcast.
Wow. Man, that's a high bar, too.
With you, it certainly is.
All right. Well, maybe can I make it up to you by talking about Patrick Mahomes?
It's a start.
All right. You know, we talked a lot during the offseason about how it's entirely possible, you know, he's not going to throw for 5,000 yards. He's not going to throw for 50 touchdowns, but he'll have an even better season this year. Now that you've seen five, six, you know, training camp practices, do you think Patrick Mahomes is in fact better? I mean, and what in what ways do you think he is showing that improvement so far in camp?
Well, the first part of it is whenever you're looking at him this time last year, he was a little indecisive and he didn't have the timer down in his head of when to get rid of the football. And that was something that they were working on a lot last year. And I was really nervous for him behind that offensive line. And then he was obviously testing out what he could and couldn't do based on coverages. I think this year the defense has given him a lot more looks. He's seen a lot more variations in coverage, a lot more times where he's had to check protections. So in terms of all that, he seems like a seasoned veteran in that regard. And he's confident in throwing it. He's got much better touch this year than he did last year because there were some times where he'd either underthrow or overthrow a receiver, and he's really been spot on, especially with the guys he's been able to work with on a regular basis this past year. So overall, I mean, he's where he was this time last year versus where he's at now. It's a whole different ball game, and he's really comfortable out there, and he's having fun with it, and he obviously makes some of the no looks because he knows he can get away with it. But and then he obviously still likes to throw it deep when he gets the chance, but he's making some more reserve throws that you want to see. And that throw he had on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Friday, it was Thursday they were off, but the throw he had Friday.
The one where he rolled out to the right,
And threw off the back foot and used the back foot to jump and to put all the force into that throw that he did and throw it to the front pylon to Mecole Hardman for the touchdown. It just, he's a special talent. It's fun to watch, and I am very curious to see where they go this year.
And it was Friday because there was no practice Thursday.
That's literally what I just said a minute ago.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Thursday or Friday.
Then I remember that Thursday they didn't practice.
Okay.
Thanks for paying attention, Todd.
Sorry. I'm a little sleep deprived. But you don't have to believe Nick necessarily. You can hear from Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy about Patrick Mahomes' progress.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen more. I've seen more defenses, seen more different disguises and different stuff. So just being able to follow that in the memory bank and pull out of the memory bank, and when I see a defense maybe that we haven't necessarily scouted our defense for, that I may have seen it last year and I'm able to know where to go with the ball, whereas last year it was kind of just new to me every single time I saw a new look.
The overall improvement has been very, very consistent. And the thing that I'll say this every time when I talk about it, the kid can tell you exactly what he did wrong, and that's a good thing. That's an autocorrect deal that Pat has from within. And so when he's not right in the pocket, he'll say, hey, you know what, coach? I should have did this. I should have stepped up. I should have had my body in this particular position.
That was Patrick Mahomes. Pop that P really hard. Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy talking
Who'd
about
you
his
say?
Growth.
Who's that second guy?
Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, you're right.
He's Eric the offensive Bieniemy. Coordinator?
He is. And he's my favorite. And we're going to have a fan club. We're going to meet on Thursdays. And I'm going to keep hitting the table to where it makes loud noises.
You are the president, I believe, of the Eric Bieniemy fan club. His mom is vice president, from my understanding, right?
I don't know. But welcome. Anybody, welcome.
But listen, I mean, anybody who's surprised that there's this growth. I mean, I think people tend to forget because he had such a special season. This time last year, like, he had started one fairly meaningless NFL game and, by the way, had not thrown a touchdown in it.
It was not meaningless in my heart.
But but at the end of the day, I mean, it was. I don't think it was quite the same as some of the games he played in this last year when, you know, the Chiefs were actually still competing for, say, a division title down the stretch. I mean, it didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of who was going to the playoffs and
the
position.
It meant that they could move on from Alex and have
I understand that
next level. Next level, Todd.
If they had to play their starters to win that game and Alex Smith had won that game, I still think they would have traded Alex in the offseason and handed the reins to Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that.
I think that game solidified it.
Well, but I don't think that the Chiefs wouldn't have made the same decision that they made because, you know, you drafted the kid for a reason. They weren't going to keep him. They weren't going to hold him and hold him back for 2 months or for 2 years. I think if the deal that presented itself with Washington was made, they were going to make it regardless of whether Patrick played in week 17 or not. They'd seen him for almost an entire year at that point and knew what they had in him. So I'm going to stand by the fact that week 17 was a mostly meaningless game, Nick.
I guess we'll never know definitively, Todd, unless you got a DeLorean or we can go to an alternate universe.
I don't think that's how that works.
Then we're never going to know.
Another guy, though, turning heads there in training camp, continues to be Mecole Hardman Jr. The speed's legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, right?
Yeah, it's there.
Is he... when you look at what he's done so far in camp, is he ahead of schedule, you know, where you would have kind of penciled him to be a couple weeks into his pro career?
Yeah, I thought he was going to have some issues with drop passes early on, and he did. But he's starting to improve that and feel more comfortable and getting used to where Patrick puts the ball and the speed it's coming at and things of that nature. So he's improved on that part of it. His route running is getting better. He's getting a better understanding of when he needs to hit the nitro booster to get the acceleration on a route. And he's feeling more comfortable in that offense. He feels confident. He looks confident, and you can tell that he's, in my opinion, from being able to watch Tyreek's growth and development on the football field from when he was a rookie to when he started to get comfortable in that offense, it honestly took till about week 8 or 9. McColl is just he's at a different level right now.
Yeah. Sharp kid, used to play quarterback, so probably not a surprise, long time ago, but probably not a surprise that that he is able to, digest and make, because look, that's always the big thing, I think, coming into Andy Reid's offense. How quickly can you grasp the concepts? How quickly can you grasp what's going on? I think he's picked it up pretty quick.
Yes, he has.
So, running back, though, in the backfield. I mean, look, Damian Williams is the guy. We heard all, like, they gave him the contract extension.
People are giving him a gold jacket and on Twitter.
Well, I mean, they were, look, I mean, the Chiefs kind of did, too. I mean, they when they dumped Kareem Hunt, and they immediately said, all right, we're anointing you the next guy. We're going to, we're going to hitch our wagon to you. We're going to give you a contract extension, throw a little money at you. You know, we like what we've seen. So far in camp, he's been hurt. How big a concern is that for you?
As long as he's ready for the Jacksonville game and he's effective, I'll wait till then to reserve judgment on that aspect of it. But you'd like to see him out there. You'd like to see him getting in rhythm with the team. But, I mean, he is a veteran now to where you maybe necessarily don't need all those reps and to create that chemistry, especially with the offensive line and Patrick Mahomes the same. So I get it on both aspects. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to get a little nervous if it's the week before regular season and he's still not practicing, if that's the case.
Well, and hamstring issues, I mean, that can linger for those skill position guys.
Mm-hmm. Just like that great Cranberries song, lingers in your head.
Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to? Do you have to?
I bet you do great at karaoke.
That's
night.
Right. All right, let's hear from Eric Bieniemy on the running back situation, because we've seen a lot of Carlos Hyde, Darwin Thompson, and Daryl Williams so far in camp.
I think they all have stepped up. I mean, we've watched some flashes of Carlos. We've watched some flashes of young Darwin. We've also seen Steady Eddie, number 31. Okay, D. Will does a heck of a job. And then we've got the young kids, 38 and 30, Marshall and Caldwell stepping up. And then we got this new kid who was lined up at corner a couple of days ago. And every time you find a way to put him in there, he just flashes. Okay, so Tremont has accepted the challenge. He's doing a very, very good job of learning. Coach D is doing a great job of working with those guys and getting them to understand what we're doing. And it's showing.
That was Eric Bieniemy talking about the running back depth. And what he's seen from the guys in Damian Williams' absence. We've talked a lot about Darwin Thompson, but and what we've seen from him. But do you think the Chiefs are okay if Damian Williams does have some lingering issues or does go down at some point this season with the running backs they do have?
I'm concerned about Carlos Hyde. We'll see what he does here in the preseason games, but from what I've seen in practice, he didn't have the burst that I was hoping for in some regards. I was hoping this would kind of rejuvenate his career. And so far, it didn't seem like he's in the best condition to me, in my opinion. He can prove me wrong, and I hope he does.
What about Daryl Williams? Have you seen enough burst from him?
He looks better this year. He looks a little more confident, got a little bit better vision, and he's been catching some impressive passes near the sidelines and doing a good job in the open field. So, I mean, he's starting to come along, and then Darwin Thompson, he has those flashes that Bieniemy was talking about to where he's got a really good second-level burst, and I love his jump cut, and he's got better vision than I anticipated for being a rookie.
Second tight end has been a concern for you. We saw Blake Bell running with the one some. We saw him in the Patrick Mahomes highlight from Sunday where he looked one way, kind of circled back, and it's Blake Bell. He throws the no-look pass to down the seam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, he's the guy they signed. He was the big offseason signing, or, you know, the top tight end they brought in from a free agent standpoint. More of a blocking guy, and that's obviously complimentary to Travis Kelce. But are you starting to get a little more comfortable with the idea of him and maybe a Deion Yelder, you know, as your backup tight ends? Or is that still a position that you have a lot of questions with?
I think Blake Bell, when they started to sneak him into the – with the ones on Sunday, that's whenever I started to say, okay, well, he's got a good shot of being the number two, and we'll see what he can do on special teams to solidify that roster spot. Number three, it may end up being John Lovett, or it may end up using Anthony Sherman, where he's the fullback slash third tight end, and they may just have a fourth one that's on the practice squad that they develop and work with. But, yeah, I mean, tight end's really what happens if Travis Kelce gets injured. That's kind of one of your bigger questions in terms of what can happen at that position. So I don't think it's settled by any means. I don't think running back is settled, and I don't think corner is settled either.
Do you miss Demetrius Harris yet?
No. But I would like an athletic tight end. But I know Tobe liked him because of how much special teams he played, and he was athletic. But he did drop a lot of passes and still struggled to block.
I know something you do like. And that's the way this Chiefs team's been playing a little bit of defense. You know, we've heard they're challenging the offense a little bit more. We've heard that, you know, that they're bringing a different kind of intensity, different kind of fire this year. But, look, there's a guy, Carlos Hyde, well-traveled kind of veteran-type guy, you know, and he, just what he's seen from this defense, let's let Carlos Hyde tell you, you know, what he sees from this defense so far in camp.
The defense has been doing a good job, you know, with their blitzing. You know, we had to make some adjustments to that because they was getting us at one point. And also their coverage, though. They've been making plays. You see some guys getting interceptions and stuff, so they've been making plays. And, you know, that stuff will carry on to the regular season and go come up huge because one game we're going to need them interceptions. So they've been doing a pretty good job, though.
That's Carlos Hyde talking about just some of the things he sees from the defense. And one of the things that's encouraging to hear is that the offense is having to make adjustments. The offense, you know, is confused at times, or at least the defense is disguising some things. Because I think last year, one of the biggest problems that the Chiefs defense had is, there were some personnel issues, obviously, but I think an even bigger issue was probably that they were just stale. They were predictable. The other team knew what was coming. The other team knew when they were going to play man. The other team knew when they were going to play zone. The other team knew where pressure was going to come from, when Bob Sutton was going to bring it. And when the other team, when you're that predictable, when you make it that easy for the offense to figure it out, NFL teams are going to exploit that, and you're going to have a terrible defense. If they're already, you know, really one full week into padded camp, if they're already able to create some of that confusion, create some of that uncertainty, make guys maybe take a false step, make guys think about things. And look, when you do that, you create the opportunity for the offense to make mistakes and for you to have a big play, or, you know, or a play where they throw it into the wrong coverage, or a play where, you know, they don't pick up a guy on the blitz and you get a free sack. Those are the kind of plays that change the course of a drive. Those are the kinds of plays that change the course of a game. Those are the kind of plays you need from your defense. And it's encouraging to hear that the defense is providing more of those type of plays already.
Yeah. From what I've seen from the defense, they got a lot of speed across the board, whether it's D-line, linebackers, secondary. They have the speed to be able to blitz from any spot, and they can blitz from 15 yards away and still be able to effectively get there because of the speed that they have right now. They don't have to confuse it with looks. They just have to align a certain way, and then they come after the quarterback. So I think some quarterbacks are going to be confused by that early on. And that front four, how athletic they are, and the twists and the stunts that they do. Colin Saunders, man, he's been really impressive. We'll talk about him later in the next segment. But, yeah, I mean, they have team speed, and they can blitz with the safeties they have, the linebackers, the D-line, the way they're able to do it. Steve Spagnuolo has brought that Jim Johnson defense here, and he has a lot of players that are able to execute it.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about that defense when we come back here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a beautiful
beautiful day today in Kansas City. Clear skies, no chance for rainfall, and the heat is building.
If you're heading on out to the pool, it is just fantastic out there. An 8 outside index, perfect 10.
We know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Strain to finish. Ain't nobody gonna feel sorry for you when it's all said and done with. We're trying to go earn that title, okay? And when you're in these particular situations, this is when you find out the character of your team. Everything is not gonna be done perfect. The only thing that we want is consistent, disciplined men that understands what it takes to be a professional. And it's not easy. So you got to learn to strain when things aren't perfect.
Nick, have you learned to strain on this podcast?
I'm going to run through a wall for Eric Bieniemy right now. I don't know if you heard about a president of his fan club.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric Bieniemy, wants you to strain, guys. Strain for greatness.
I think he wants to push through it, but he used the word strain, so I'm okay with that. And whatever Eric Bieniemy says is gold.
Yeah. Please don't strain your muscles.
I actually did up at camp with a calf injury.
No. Are you day to day? Oh my God, are you day to day?
I did some treatment, so it actually just went away Sunday morning, so right. I was happy about that.
Well, that's good. That's good. Hey, real quick, let's talk about some impressions so far from camp. One of the things that I want to talk about, linebacker's a position that, you know, you kind of went in wondering, like, who is going to play any of these positions? Like, what are they doing with linebacker? And as it turned out, what it seems like kind of the game plan there was just collect talent, collect, you know, pieces, and then let them figure out how to use it. So whether it's Darren Lee, who has looked pretty good in you know, in run support, and we know that he's got the speed and the skill to be an effective player in coverage. You know, whether it's Anthony Hitchens, who, you know, we expect will be a little bit rejuvenated. Whether it's Reggie Ragland and Damian Wilson, who, you know, who are bringing a little bit of thunder, which you like to see from that middle linebacker, that strong side linebacker position. And we, I haven't even mentioned guys like Dorian O'Daniel and Ben Neiman, who bring a lot of athleticism to the position. And if nothing else, bring a lot of potential to help on special teams or in coverage situations because of that athleticism, because of that speed. I'm so much less concerned about the linebacker when I actually saw these guys out on the field, because it just feels like they're going to be able to mix and match. They've got enough players and enough talent in that position group that, look, they may not have a Pro Bowler or certainly not an All-Pro caliber talent in that group, but I think that the depth there is going to allow them to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really worried about the linebacking group overall. I don't think I was headed into it, but I'm definitely not now, because Hitchens, they're either, I think they're going to use him at Mike or Will. It just depends on if there's somebody at Will that they feel like can, you know, make him better across the board. And I wouldn't be surprised if Damian Wilson and Ragland aren't maybe the Sam linebackers with Jeremy Achu. So I think
Adu Achu?
Yeah, sorry.
Gesunte.
Yes, Jeremy Adu Achu. Oh, I did not get a pronunciation key on that one. That's my bad.
That's right.
I know there is somebody named Achu, though, that actually plays in the league. So,
well, what are some of your impressions from camp? Because we talked about last week, you know, I wasn't real thrilled with the cornerback position, but anything else you've seen?
Yeah, since we've chatted about corner in a previous podcast, we can kind of move on from that. I think Breland, I'm comfortable with Breland. It's just the other outside corner position. I know they're using Wade and they're using Travis Ward, but what I'm a little concerned about is as camp has gone on, I think some of the cornerbacks are struggling to find the football, and that's on the outside, and I think that's kind of a concern for me in that defense. And I'm athletically, it's there, but as it's gone on. And we'll see what they end up doing, but I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in another corner by the time they decide the 53, if there's an opportunity out there.
If you're looking for somebody in terms of filling that need, are you looking for a guy who's more of a man coverage guy, or are you looking for a guy who's more of a zone specialist to play that other position?
Well, see, here's the thing: is like you need in this scheme, you need guys who are capable of being comfortable in both. They don't have to be elite at either one of them, but a guy who's capable of doing either one or both of those. I mean, so you're looking for a guy that's very cerebral, like we've talked about pattern match, understand that and understand how to adjust the routes and can track and find the football, and a guy who's disciplined. So, I mean, there's a different type of skill set that you need overall. You need somebody who's in the middle versus somebody who's dominant at one or the other.
Any other impressions from camp?
Yeah, Juan Thornhill continues to shine, continues to show off his athletic ability, keeps making interceptions. He made a big one on what day is it now? It was on Saturday. My days are
Had a couple midweek.
To blend.
Yeah,
but he had a big one on Saturday against Patrick Mahomes. So
heard of him?
Yes. So I mean, he was getting him on Henny. Now he's moved on up to Patrick Mahomes at this point.
Look, he's you and I both expect by Jacksonville. He's starting opposite Tyrann Mathieu at safety, right?
I think so, and then I think they kind of use Sorensen back where he was in the box and kind of have him help blitz in some regards, and maybe if he can cover a tight end or in some regard or help in run support. I think that's kind of more where his wheelhouse is.
You mean they're going to limit exposure to his weaknesses and use him in the ways in which he has always thrived in the NFL?
I feel like it's a strong possibility.
That's crazy talk, Nick.
Now, defensive line-wise, I really love what they have. I think they have 9 to potentially 10 guys that can play on this team and make this team and rotate in.
I was going to say, I'm worried that they're going to have to cut somebody who's really, really good in a numbers game.
Well, I mean, because right now I know people keep asking me who I think they're going to keep, and I will formally give that in an article this week.
Here we go.
Before preseason starts.
Roster prediction time.
I can't give it away. It's the
roster prediction
version 1.0.
Got to go to kshb.com/Chiefs if you want that information later this week.
Yes, but I will give a little teaser.
Ooh.
Colin Saunders, obviously, he's going to be on the roster.
Do you think Frank Clark makes the roster?
Yes.
Okay.
But Colin Saunders, like, man,
is it just because of the contract?
I'm moving on, Todd. Okay. Remember? So Colin Saunders, like, his hand fighting, just how lightning quick he is. Even Tom Bahali would be proud. Just there was 3 moves he made to counter what the offensive lineman was trying to do, and he did it in like half a second. And I mean, I'm watching, I can see that, but I'm like, my goodness, man, if we had video and able to slow-mo this thing down, people would be amazed at what he was able to do, because he slapped the defender's hand off, pulled him to him, and then did like a little rip and swim over it. And I'm like, my goodness, he had all those counters. He already plays like he already has the ability and technique of a veteran, and he shouldn't be able to at this point. But Chris Jones looked good. Frank Clark looks good out there. Emmanuel Ogba is able to make some moves. And then obviously Okafor has been playing out of his mind against Mitchell Schwartz, who's a really good right tackle. And then Tano Passanio, they're using him correctly, because I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't really have the strength to bull rush. I mean, he's able to do it, but he's really good whenever he's attacking the shoulders, whether it's the outside or inside shoulder, and especially if you put him on a twist, stunt, loop, whatever you do, he's got speed that really shines, and they've been properly using him in that regard. So those are just a couple guys. There's a couple as well that we will add to the mix in the roster prediction preview version 1.0 coming out this week on kshb.com/list.
Oh,
Chiefs. But those are just a couple of the impressions that I have. And Marcus Kemp had a big day on Sunday, as did Mecole Hardman. So it's going to be really interesting.
All right. That'll do it for Camp Impressions.
Yes. We can't do that for every single topic that we do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're going to have
that'll do it for Camp Impressions.
At least it was different.
There you go.
So I heard there was a Hall of Fame.
Totally nailed it. Was there?
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I watched parts of it, and then other parts of it I had to flip over to either Pokemon or Team Umizoomi, because my 5-year-old is a tyrant, and it was a very long ceremony. But 3 Chiefs inducted, or 3 former Chiefs.
Yep.
I mean, Ty Law did play for the Chiefs, you know, at one point.
Yes.
Probably not in the prime of his career.
No. It was near the end there with old Herm.
But, you know, then you also had Johnny Robinson, a guy who it was probably overdue. And then, of course, the highlight was Tony Gonzalez. And I know that, you know, the comments Tony made in the, at the Super Bowl last year about going to Atlanta, making his career, rankled a lot of Chiefs fans. I also, if you know anything about Tony and his desire and his want to provide a good soundbite in context, it came as no surprise to me that he would say something like that. I don't think Tony meant it to say that, like, he hated Kansas City and he wasn't appreciative of his time in Kansas City. And so I think Chiefs fans just appreciate him for what he was. He was a great player who was never on teams that won playoff games, you know. And you know, I mean, look, he's still one of my favorite Chiefs of all time. Like, when I was growing up, there's only one Chief that I had a hoodie of and one Chief that I had, you know, a mock jersey of, and it was Tony Gonzalez. And, you know, this is the late 90s, and Tony was one of my favorites. So let's hear from Tony Gonzalez, and because he did thank Chiefs fans in his Hall of Fame press conference, or Hall of Fame induction speech.
To the fans of Kansas City. Are you in the house, Kansas City Chiefs fans? You know what? I'll never forget when I first got to Kansas City, they were singing the Star Spangled Banner, and you guys know I'm going with this. At the end of the song, I didn't know what was coming. And they let me know if you know this one. It comes to the end of it, and it says, and the home of the... There it is. And then you'd see the flyover. Nothing else like playing at Arrowhead Stadium. And it brings me, after I had gotten traded to Atlanta, I came back to Kansas City to play a football game. I was on the other side of the ball. I wasn't sure how the fans were going to treat me. And so I was worried about it all week long. And then during the pregame, they introduced me, which I thought was very special. And then something happened that was one of the greatest moments of my career. The Chief fans started yelling at the top of their lungs. And I remember I looked over and a teammate of mine, Sam Baker, he looks at me and he goes, wow, that is really special. And so you Kansas City Chief fans know how much I appreciated you and how much I cherished the relationships before the game, after game, coming out to the parking lot, giving cookies, giving burritos, words of encouragement. I love you guys. Thank you.
Welcome back. That was Tony Gonzalez thanking you guys. One day when Nick and I are inducted into the podcast wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame there in Canton, we'll have a similar speech.
Yes, I'm sure that'll be there in 2050.
Well, but we'll be part of the inaugural class.
Okay, I'll let you work on that campaign.
Okay, I'm on it.
Sounds good, Todd.
So, what did you think? Did you watch all of the Hall of Fame coverage?
No, I was editing. I was working, but I heard it in the background. I got to see part of Tony's speech. Tony's speech was rather long. I was hoping may get Dave Chappelle out there and do the wrap it up thing.
How many times did they cue the Oscar music and he just ignore it?
They actually didn't, but they probably should have. Yeah, he went a while on that one. But yeah, no, I mean, look, I mean, he's deserving of it. He's a dominant tight end. Johnny Robinson was deserving of it. Had 57 career interceptions. And you know, I remember Ty Law had a bite that D. Jackson got from when he was in Canton there, where Ty Law was like, he had more than I did. And I made the Hall of Fame, and he had to wait this long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of dominant Chiefs from that era whenever they were able to win a Super Bowl.
What is it now, six from that Super Bowl defense now? I mean, that's an incredible number, man.
That's an impressive amount. So, congrats to all of them, and I believe it's break time.
Well, one other question, though. How many Chiefs players from this year's defense will be in the Hall of Fame?
I have no idea.
It'll be at least seven, probably. That's what I heard. All right, we'll be back here on 4th and 1.
Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. I'll definitely have a box that I'll keep forever. I mean, whenever you're a little kid, you see people on those cereal boxes. It is a tremendous honor, so I'm excited to be able to have my own.
Did you sign any here
today? I signed one, but I saw several. But, I mean, it's cool that people will go out there and get that. And like I said, support not only me, but my foundation and everything that it's going to hopefully do for this community.
I feel so bad for Patrick Mahomes' grandchild who one day opens that box of 50-year-old cereal and finds out that it does not taste good. Because that's 100% happening. And that poor kid is going to be very disappointed.
And you're probably one of five people that have actually thought of that scenario. I that never crossed my mind, but I've hearing you say that, I was like, that is something that Todd Ballmer would say.
Yeah,
but I did see some people have it there, and they were wanting to get it signed over the weekend. So
My kid liked it. I did. I bought a box.
I'm going to buy a couple, but I'm also going to...
I bought a box. I've also got two listed for $17,000 on eBay. If you would like to look me up at Serial Ripoff 78 on eBay, at Serial Ripoff 78.
That sounds like something you would do.
Yeah. Yeah, just yours. I'll even throw in shipping for $17,000. I don't know.
That's so kind.
I'm buying a house, man. I need money, okay? Daddy needs cash.
I am so excited that you may have this over with, so I don't have to hear about it anymore.
I think I am. You know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to list one for $17,000. That's going to be the starting bid. It will go up in increments of $5,000.
All right. So, anyways, Chiefs. You got any cheese stuff? We're going to talk about your house.
Have you tried the cereal yet? Have you eaten the cereal yet?
This isn't a Todd Palmer Sells His House podcast, okay? No, I have not. I haven't tried the cereal yet, but I found out that apparently that's what he wanted the cereal to be. So I know a lot of people had ideas of little marshmallow footballs and this and that. But
he wanted a less sugary version of Frosted Flakes.
Mm-hmm. So he got it.
There you go.
So I'm curious to test it out. I mean, I'm sure it's going to taste like...
I tried it, and I got to be honest. I tried it Patrick Mahomes style, and I do not recommend putting that much ketchup on your cereal.
Sounds about right.
Sounds
about right for you.
G-R-O-S-S.
So, Todd,
gross.
I believe we need to move on to name that chief.
Okay. This chief puts too much ketchup on his cereal.
Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, you really want me to do this? Okay. Here we go. It's shorter this week. You're welcome.
All right.
This chief went to more Pro Bowls than any other player in franchise history. Do you need the number?
Or what? Sure.
12.
Okay. Thank you.
He was a three-time All-Pro and is enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
since it is Hall of Fame weekend. He was born in Fort Riley, Kansas, grew up in Oklahoma, and then, presumably to the dismay of the people he grew up around, played at Nebraska, where he won an Outland Trophy. He started an NFL record 231 consecutive games. If you don't know who he is, I'm going to be very disappointed.
And he also happens to have a place called, it's either 68 Inside Sports or...
68 Inside Sports. And he's got a son who played basketball in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And
That man would go by the name of Will Shield.
He would.
All right.
He would. Congratulations.
Now,
at what point did you have it? Did you know it just off the Pro Bowl question?
I had a pretty good idea, but I knew how extensive a research you did, so I wanted to let you finish your question and not try to answer it like you do.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's go.
So, my name, that chief. This
Alex Smith.
Oh boy, this former chief played at Oregon for college. He had 14 career regular season receiving TDs. He had 183 career receptions. And almost 3,000 yards receiving. He had two TDs in the Chiefs playoff games that they had in 93 and 94. He played for the Chiefs from 1990 to 1994. He was a wide receiver. And in honor of Hall of Fame weekend, he was what I like to consider one of the original 88s before Tony had it. His quarterback was Joe Montana during a portion of his career.
I'm trying to...
Good receiver, fast receiver in the West Coast offense.
J.J. Burden?
Yes, it was.
All right.
So when I send this to J.J. Burden on Twitter,
I didn't know he's from Oregon.
We follow each other.
Okay, I didn't know he played at Oregon. That's what was throwing me. Like when you first said Oregon, I was like, did he go D'Anthony Thomas?
You know what's hilarious about this? I literally think you guessed J.J. Burden a couple weeks ago. That's why I did name that
show. Oh, really?
So I did it to see if you'd paying attention, and you weren't.
No, probably not. But I totally nailed it.
I mean, I guess you can call it that.
I got it right.
You got it right, but I saw the struggle on your face as Eric Bieniemy would say you were straining.
I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah, you pushed through.
All right, go put some ketchup on your
You persevered.
So what else do we got to do, Nick?
Do you have enough time for check the tweets or?
Yeah, we can probably do that.
Okay. I know you have to.
Hot date with my mom tonight.
I know, that's why I've been rushing you so we don't stall your poor mom.
All right, here we go.
From being able to do this. TJ McGinn asks, are you taking Tony Gonzalez or Travis Kelce in their prime?
Oh man, I mean, I'm probably taking Tony.
Yeah.
I think he was a better, more complete tight end in his prime than Kelce's shown to be so far.
All right, from Keith McLean, one of my favorites still.
Is he related to Don?
You say that every time I bring this name up. Would you say that the comments made by many that Mecole Hardman pick was a reach, panic, waste, or a tad premature after seeing him in pads?
I don't know. I mean, look, I still think that they drafted him understanding that Tyreek may or may not be available. I think he's played better, but I still think that, let me put it this way. I don't think that going into the draft process, they were thinking wide receiver with the first pick they would make in the draft. So no, I still think that it was, I'm not saying it was a reach. I'm not saying it was a panic. I still think that it was necessary because of some complications during the offseason.
And our final question will be for you, Todd. From Chansey, does Carlos Hyde make the roster?
Man, I'll tell you what, I feel like he or Darrell Williams may be the odd man out at some point, you know, down the road, depending on what they want to do with the position. Because I'm like last year when, you and I both thought they were going to keep Williams on the roster and keep that extra running back. I'm not sure that they will keep the extra running back this year. And if that's the case, I think Darwin Thompson, you're keeping around. I think you're keeping Sherman at fullback, and I think you're keeping Damian Williams. So if they only go three, then one of them has to go. I think at this point he makes the opening day roster, whether he's still there in November, maybe up in the air.
Well, Todd, that's another edition wrapped up of Check the Tweets. I don't know about you, but I am ready for the preseason game coming up this week.
Yeah. It'll be kind of real football. But at least, the nice thing about it is there's always a method to the madness in training camp, whether the guys kind of know what's coming and whether they're working on certain things. This will be the first time we get, the gloves will come off, guys will be going at full speed. They know that it's going to be live, tackle to the ground, but they're not going to necessarily know what's coming. You're going to see a lot more unscouted looks. You're going to get the opportunity. I mean, the offense will still be pretty vanilla, but the defenses will challenge them in a way that they haven't. And I think this is the first real opportunity to see if some of the things we've seen in training camp, whether it's Darwin Thompson's speed or what we think we've seen from Mecole Hardman, or whether that defensive line is as good as we think it's been so far in camp. We'll start to really get some answers for that on Saturday night.
I'm looking forward to it, and we will have some articles coming out this week with roster predictions, some players to watch in the first preseason game.
Yeah, and I'll be making it back up to camp. I'll be writing some stories during the week, so be sure to check that out at kshb.com/Chiefs. A lot of great video content that's been up there too from our sports group and some of the other reporters who spent some time up there.
Yes, and Instagram as well on 41.
Yeah, no, be sure to, yeah, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find a lot of that content on all the social media platforms.
That's right, Todd. So that's another edition of the 41 podcast. They're down, Todd. Congrats.
Yeah, no. Congratulations to you on surviving a year with me. We'll talk to you later.